By way of exhortation, I would like to mention something that I happened to notice yesterday. And we had to drop Hannah off at the village fair. And in Alston, there's a small sort of gift shop, second-hand bookshop. And Rose can't resist it. There's a second-hand bookshop. She's got to go in. But it's one of these shops that got loads of other stuff in. Lots of antiques, lots of old things, lots of valuable things. But it's another one of these traditional shops where everything is stuffed in and there's barely any space to stand. And being middle of the tourist season, it was actually quite busy. So I had a quick glance at the books and pretty much the only place that was left for me to stand was right beside the door. And as I was standing there, because she hadn't brought a purse in, so I guess she was going to have to pay for everything, I happened to notice a sign just inside the door. And what it said was, unaccompanied children in this shop will be given a double espresso and a little puppy. And I thought, well, that's not quite what I expected. I kind of expected something like no unaccompanied children allowed or damages must be paid for. But the more I thought about this sign, I was thinking just how effective that would actually be. Okay, no children allowed in this shop. Well, they wouldn't bother. They'd go in. Nothing would happen. Okay, fine. If something did get broken, well, they might run off. Damages must be paid for. Well, you see that kind of everywhere. So you pay your money, whatever they've broken, fine, that's it, end of story, off you go. But unaccompanied children being given a double espresso and a little puppy. Can you imagine the parents' journey home? Because, like I said, it's a tourist area. People probably travelled quite a distance. And basically what this sign was saying is, you have to live with the consequences of your actions. And sometimes the consequences of your actions might be a lot more far-reaching than appears at the time. Every action has a reaction. Everything that we do can have positive or negative effects. In fact, what could be positive in one particular aspect might be negative in another. We have to make choices. We have to live our lives. We can't just do nothing. But what might be detrimental to one, as I said, could be beneficial to another. We're given choices. We can't serve the world and God. We can't love two masters, as it says in Luke chapter 16. I just want to touch our three readings for today, because it contains this very thing, living with consequences or reactions. We have the Philistines in 1 Samuel in chapter 5, taking the Ark of God into the temple of Dagon. Now, what did they expect? We know that when the Ark of God arrived in the camp of the Philistines, sorry, in the camp of the Israelites, the Philistines, they were seriously worried. They said, nothing like this has happened before, that a God has come into the enemy camp. They knew the power of God. They knew what God had done to the Egyptians. They knew about plagues. They knew about parting of the Red Sea. Yet when they captured the Ark, they took it into the temple of Dagon. Verse 3. When the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set it in its place again. And when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were broken off on the threshold. Only the torso of Dagon was left of it. And we know how it continues. The hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod. He ravaged them, struck them with tumours, both Ashdod and its territory. Okay, so what did they do? Well, they then said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll give it to Gath, and it can be their problem. And the same thing happened in Gath. So what did they do? They said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll give it to Ekron, and it can be their problem. They hadn't really learned. They'd seen this thing had happened once, and then it happened again. And it was happening again a third time. Now, I know we all make mistakes, but the idea behind mistakes is that you can learn from them. They hadn't learned. But the thing about mistakes is, it's actually easier or better if you learn from other people's mistakes. And they hadn't even done that. So the actions that they'd taken had consequences. And they failed to learn those consequences. But it goes on from there. They sent the ark back, and you know, probably know the story from Sunday school. They put it on the cart with the oxen. They took the calves off them and sent the oxen away. And the oxen took the cart and they brought it back to Israel. But what did Israel do? When the cart arrived, they tried to open the ark. They'd shown it the same irreverence that the Philistines had shown. So they hadn't learned through the mistakes. So some ways we have to be careful what we do and also what we ask for. If we've gone a couple more chapters, we're going to come to what Israel wanted from a leader, how they wanted to be guided and governed. And in chapter 8, we have them asking for a king. So they've actually asked for this. And it's another one of these examples, probably with hindsight, you think, of someone being monumentally stupid. Because they asked for three things, what they wanted this person to do. They wanted to be like the nations. And what they asked for was this: that our king may judge us, go out before us, and fight our battles. Now this sounds to me like the child in this shop saying, well, if I break something, I'm going to get a double espresso and a little puppy. But the consequences. Now with hindsight, what they could have asked for is someone who will forgive us, not someone who will judge us. They could have asked for someone who will walk with us and teach us by example, not for someone who will go ahead of us. And they could have asked for someone who would bring us peace, not lead us in war. And we know the king that was chosen, how Saul was inappropriate, and he was replaced by David. And we know that David was pointing forward to his greater son. There's a few little things I'd like to quickly touch on for our middle reading. Because it starts with three listens. And it's calling to people with special characters. It's not saying, listen to me, everybody. But it's calling to three different types or perhaps the same type of people, but with three different characters. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, who seek the Lord. And the summary of that is, they'll be given comfort. The next listen, listen to me, my people, give ear to me, O my nation. Now they'll be given righteousness. And the final group, listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Because they won't have to fear. So are we in any of those three groups? And more importantly, are we then listening? Because it brings us again to the promises of God, the plans of God. In verse 11, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So we have a time of peace. If we are those who listen, if we are those who follow. Now we jump to Revelation. And it's a time of trouble, a time of war, a time of violence, a time of deception. And I think we can look at the world around us and we can see parallels there. Instability. This followed on by chapter 14, which is talking about those who follow Jesus Christ. So it looks like we're given a choice. A time of violence and war. Is that the side that we're looking for? Is that the side that we're on? Or are we looking to be those who are numbered with Jesus Christ, looking for peace and looking for safety? So we have a choice in our actions. But there's times, I think, when there isn't as much a choice as that the choice has already been made. That perhaps God has already decided what needs to be done and the person or the situation has been put in play to get the desired result. Because no matter what happens, God is always in control. We come now to remember perhaps one of the stupidest actions that man could have devised. And yet, it was God's will. We're talking now about the death of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 53, it was the Lord's will that he was bruised, that he was sacrificed. So while the people and the nations were looking to get rid of Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees wanted him crucified. It's interesting to note that Pontius Pilate, his character, the history, the records of him, he was known as the Butcher of Spain. He was someone who didn't really listen to anybody. What he decided, that he did. He didn't change his mind. And yet this time he did. This time he actually listened to the Sanhedrin. He listened to the scribes and the Pharisees when they want Jesus to be crucified. So from man's point of view, it looks like a stupid action, a stupid decision. Yet it was in God's plan. Because God knew that it's only through the sacrifice of Jesus, that his laying down of his life, that we could approach unto him. That we can be forgiven through the blood of the Lamb. So we come now to remember our Lord's sacrifice, his death. That our sins might be forgiven. That he would be the first of those that raised from sleep. And that he would demonstrate his love for us in his life and in his death. Because if one thing Jesus did, he followed God's will. He did everything that God asked of him. He knew what the consequences would be. He knew what was going to happen. And yet, he still went through with it. He knew that God's will would be done. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I think at the moment we live in historic times. I think from this week just gone, we've seen how quickly the world can change. And yet we know that it's all in God's plan. We know what God has set apart for us and for all those who do what Jesus commanded. The command to love one another. And the command that we'll be following shortly, to eat and to drink in remembrance of him.